Dear friends in Christ, the theme of suffering is very prominent in today's readings. When we heard that Jesus talking about being baptized with the baptism which I will be baptized, he's not talking about regular baptism with water there. He's speaking metaphorically about suffering, about a new kind of suffering. Just like baptism gives a new spiritual life, our Lord is talking about the baptism, quote-unquote, which he will suffer on the cross as the beginning of new life for all of us. The first reading, the prophecy from Isaiah, speaks to us about, without naming our Lord, that the great Savior, when he comes, will have to offer up his life. He'll be rejected. That was something completely alien to the minds of most of the Jewish people back then. They were expecting a Savior who'd be a conquering hero, who would drive out the Romans and set up the kingdom of Israel as a big independent country again. They were thinking of a political Savior and Messiah. But the gospel says no. God's ways are very different. Salvation is going to come through suffering. Today, we live in a society where everybody is conscious of suffering in different ways, but sometimes with an exaggerated emphasis on seeing ourselves as victims and expecting everybody, and particularly the government, to do things and pass laws and give money to help. It's like a therapeutic society in which we see the role of the rest of society as kind of nurturing and protecting and looking after us like parents. That's true only up to a certain extent. Of course, part of that inspiration comes from our Christian culture. Being compassionate to the needy and poor, of course, is very, very central to our faith. And it's a strong emphasis, as we all know, of Pope Francis. But really, all of the popes have always emphasized charity to the poor. But when it comes exaggerated so that we become kind of passive and expect everybody else to do things for us, that's not the answer. And there's this tendency in our society for everyone to paint themselves as a victim. We remember just a few weeks ago, part of the gender ideology that Pope Francis has been warning against. You probably heard the news just about a month or two ago, just south of St. Louis, down in Hillsborough, where there's a young, emotionally disturbed young boy of 16 years old who thinks he's a girl, he wants to be a girl, so he puts on a wig and dresses in a dress like a girl and demands to be able to use the girls' locker rooms and bathrooms at that public high school. And of course, the girls and their parents were very indignant about it. We don't want a boy coming in here in these private areas. But what happens? The media supports him. They talk him about as she and her, like he's really a girl. And he's the victim, even though he's imposing his ideology on all of the other students and parents in that school. So we have to avoid that kind of approach to suffering, making ourselves victims and expecting everybody else to just do things the way we want them to do. Of course, the true victims who are not being recalled by our society, most of all, are the unborn. They don't have any rights at all, according to our laws. So we have our values very much distorted as a culture, as a society. So we have to get back to the idea of redemptive suffering. Suffering that when we can't overcome it, when it's suffering that we can't avoid, do we just hold up our hands in despair and say, well, nothing can do about it, fall into desperation? No. Our faith teaches us that by uniting our sufferings with those of Jesus on the cross, by taking up that suffering like we're taking up a cross, in Jesus' own words, we can turn that suffering into a source of grace and salvation. We can't maybe see that in the evidence of what our eyes see in our day-to-day experience, But our faith tells us, yes, that suffering, if we offer it up with faith, we'll bring graces for ourselves and for others. Pope St. John Paul II wrote a whole beautiful document, an encyclical called, the Latin title was Salvifici Doloris, which means the saving value of suffering. It's a beautiful meditation that encourages in times of illness, pain, disappointment, loneliness. Jesus is at our side at those times, especially at those times. We offer that up in union with his sacrifice, and he will help us to overcome and persevere whatever may happen. There's another aspect of that suffering that's worth mentioning, especially today. Remember that the last part of the Gospel, we hear how the apostles James and John are asking for privileges in the kingdom of heaven. They're not really saints yet, right? Jesus is gradually forming them, and they're on their way, but they've got a lot of, you know, defective ideas and attitudes yet. And so he says those words we heard, are you willing to be baptized the way I am? Meaning, are you willing to suffer the way I'm going to have to suffer? And they said, yeah, sure we can. But then he reminds all of them, you want to be first. You want to have privileges, but you need to learn that whoever wants to be great in the kingdom of heaven has to be the servant of all. And that's a tremendously important insight that has been very much embedded for 2,000 years in our Christian Western culture, that leadership is service. And that inspiration was certainly one of the things that prompted and motivated and enabled the spirit of those patriotic Hungarians who we remember in a special way today. Today, or it's actually 23rd of October, is the anniversary of the uprising. That's this Friday, coming Friday. But we celebrate on the Sunday before that. We're beginning the 60th year since that uprising. Next year, 2060, will be the 60th anniversary of that event. And it was very important, not just for Hungary, but for the whole world, because it showed that the Soviet tyranny was not almighty and all-powerful. It could be broken, and it was broken. Even though the Soviet tanks came in before too long and crushed it, those Hungarian patriots, in the culture they had brought with them from, even though not necessarily all of them practicing believers, but many of them, of course, were, and we have martyrs. They photographs at the back of the church here, an honored place. But the whole culture was permeated with that Christian teaching that leadership is service, not domination. And of course, that was the whole problem with communism. The communist leaders were not serving the people. They were its masters, and they were oppressing the people and crushing their freedom and rights and their religion, all the things that are most important to the human spirit. And so we give thanks to God for their example, their bravery, because even though they were in the short term, they lost that battle and the Russians came in again, they lit a little spark that went round the world, and that little spark could never be put out after that. And then we saw in Czechoslovakia, and within about less than 30-something years, that whole Iron Curtain in Europe came tumbling down, and the communists were driven from power all over Europe. Unfortunately, in Cuba, China, a few places, they're still there. But it shows what the power of faith and the power of the gospel influencing our culture can do. Leadership is service. Let's pray for the wisdom and insight to show how we can overcome suffering by offering it up, overcoming like those Hungarian patriots did in their brave resistance. But remembering that when we can't avoid suffering, we offer that in faith and hope to our Lord, knowing that he is with us as we carry that cross, and that faithful carrying it will bring graces for our salvation and the salvation of many others. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.